Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, here's my question of the hour for you. Are you ready? Do you have a prodigal? Do you have a prodigal son or daughter? Well, maybe your son and daughter, they've not outright rejected their faith, but maybe they see your Christianity and your ideals as maybe outdated. And their particular blend of Christianity involves mindsets that are totally contrary to your convictions. So what are you to do? And do you feel like it's your job to fix them? Well, today my guest is Lori Wildenberg. She joins me to share how we can demonstrate God's grace, truth, purpose, and limitless love for our children. The title of her book is Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. We've got three copies of this book. I love it. It's so helpful. It's so insightful. You can email, if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address. So a couple quick announcements before we hear from Lori. So this writer's conference we've been talking about, it's Saturday, July 15th. Would you believe we have 24 tickets left to sell out crowd here? And we are so excited. Liz Curtis Higgs will be our keynote speaker. We've got amazing editors, agents, authors coming to invest into you, to pour into you, to help you take your next steps in the writing journey. If you still haven't signed up and you do have that dream in your heart, don't let fear stand in your way. Hop on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also, here at Faith Radio, we're giving one Bible away every single week. And this month, it is the Financial Stewardship Bible. It features over 2,000 highlighted verses that speak to stewardship, finances, and faith around our money. If you need a Bible like that, all you got to do is sign up to win. MyFaithRadio.com is our website. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lori Wildenberg is a national speaker, co-founder of the 1 Corinthians 13 Parenting Ministry, co-author of three parenting books, and the lead mentor mom for the Moms Together Facebook community. So nice to meet you, Lori. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Susie. I'm really excited to be here.
I am too. I'm very much looking forward to this conversation. It's one that's very close to my heart. And Lori, we love to start every conversation every day talking scripture. And you chose a passage, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. I don't know if you have them in front of you. I'm happy to read them, but I would much rather have you read them if you've got them in front of you.
Oh,
I'll read them.
I can get them in a second.
Okay, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. I'm super happy to read it, but you have such a nice voice. I thought, you know, it would be nice. Yeah. How about I read them and you speak to it, all right?
Okay, that sounds good.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say about that passage.
You know, when you read how the Lord describes love, and then he describes himself as love, it really puts love into perspective, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That it's a huge thing, and it isn't just about a feeling. Love is a choice. It's a decision. It's an action that we can make with every interaction we have.
Mm.
And love is full of grace, and it's full of truth, and it rejoices in the truth, and there's great mercy and patience. And so there's so many facets to love, and that, I think, is really important, because so often we fall on one extreme or the other, or maybe even just decide love is just a feeling, when in fact it's way bigger than that.
Indeed. Wow. Well put. Well put. Well, you open your book with a story about your Bible study leader and how she had a prodigal and she didn't know where he was, what he was doing, yet somehow she still kept the faith and kept marching forward. Tell us about her.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Yeah, she would have our group pray for her, and she had two children, both in their early adulthood years, so both in their 20s, and her son had wandered away from the family and wandered so far that they actually didn't even know where he was. And at the time when she was asking us for prayer and telling us about her family, we all, you know, prayed for her and were amazed at her faith and her trust in the Lord. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that kind of in the back of my mind, I sort of wondered what she did wrong. Because here my kids were, they were in their elementary school years, all four. I knew where they were, what they were doing, and I sort of thought I had the exact formula as to how to raise my kids. And I believed that none of my kids would wander off that path because we were doing it, quote unquote, right. And I didn't verbalize that until the book, but it was something that I honestly really wondered what happened there. And as now I'm journeying through, in a way, a similar situation, all prodigals have sort of a prodigal situations, all have a similar thread. They might be different in their unique details, but there's many commonalities. And now I can see how you can pour in all your good parenting stuff, but yet there are some characters who have a different path that they take.
Yeah. I so appreciated your honesty around that, Lori, because I think that's more common than not, that a parent secretly wonders, they must have missed a step. And we talk about that often on the show around parenting, but also around even healing, that, you know, as if somehow we can dictate to God and determine outcomes always. Now, that's so different than, you know, of course our choices matter. It matters what we sow. But there are certain outcomes that really are in God's hands and as far as in the hands of people's choices as well. And I loved your dedication at the beginning of the book. You write, "This book is dedicated to all of the wanderers who are working out their testimony and the waiters who love them." I just thought that was fantastic. Love for you, if you don't mind, to tell us about your experience with your daughter.
Sure, I'd be glad to. And just so your listeners know, the book Messy Journey was written with my daughter's permission, and her voice is actually in this book. So none of this was done, you know, under any kind of secrecy. It's all out in the open, and we've had honest and sometimes kind of hard conversations about something. So I want people to know that my daughter, Courtney, is a part of this as well. And if it were not for her giving her blessing and adding her words to this project, this book would not have occurred. So anyway, you know, we raised her up in the way that we hoped she would go. And since she was a young child, she has struggled with gender identity. And we did as much as we could to try to help steer her to embrace being feminine. And there's some bigger issues under there, but just as a little background, we adopted Courtney at 3 months of age, and I believe that the abandonment issues perhaps have played a role in some of this. They're one piece to the puzzle, maybe. But anyway, so she had gender identity issues, and then as she got a little older into puberty, she was experiencing same-sex attraction, which isn't always an alarm bell at that particular stage, because a lot of people of the same sex have a crush on someone of the same sex. It's more of an admiration kind of a thing. But this continued, and Courtney and I would have honest conversations about her attractions. And then when she left, she went to college, her second year of college, she ended up having a same-sex relationship. And that was the beginning of her continuing down the path of same-sex relationship.
Mm. Yeah, wow. And I so appreciate it. I told you this before the show, your heart for her, but her heart, too, for you, and the way that she respected you and honored you and was yet still honest about her journey, these little excerpts throughout the book of just how she describes her journey. This is another really important point I want you to make. You open the book with a caveat that says, this book is not for those, basically, who want to debate the issue of homosexuality. That's my paraphrase of what you wrote. I want you to make your point here just so people know, because this isn't about that. Go ahead, say more.
Yeah. If somebody is settled with where their child is, but maybe we could put it that way. If they're settled and they're content, then if they have a child who has pursued homosexuality and they're settled with that, this book isn't for them. This book is for people who have children who have wandered off the path, and it's not necessarily regarding same-sex attraction. It can be anything from denying the faith to unwed pregnancy, to cohabitation, substance abuse, alcoholism. It could be anything where your child has deviated from what you would have dreamed for them and what you expected for their life as a young person. So that's what this book is about. And Courtney's story is woven throughout the book. That's the common theme, but there are dozens of other families who have their stories in the book as well, and they're about all of those things that I mentioned. In fact, there's a missionary family who have a son who has now declared that he's atheist. There's another family that I interviewed, highly involved in the pro-life movement, and their daughter ended up having an abortion. So it's things that butt up against your belief system that your kids are engaged in.
Thank you, Lori. That's just a great clarification. Talking to Lori Wildenberg today, title of her book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. We've got three copies, so why don't you email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about that ever old issue that comes up when you feel like you were passionate in your raising of your kids in the faith, and others maybe don't seem so much, and yet their kids just never depart, and yours do. How do you deal with that constant fist in the gut, jealousy, envy, frustration, sense of unfairness, like, why didn't this stick? We're going to talk about that on the other side. If you've got a question for Lori, you can include that in your email, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lori Wildenberg. She's a speaker and an author, and she wrote the book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. And such a heartfelt, wonderful book. Lori tells her own story, but includes many, many other stories of parents who have prodigals, but also the prodigals from their perspective. And this testimony from your book, I have to say, I so identified with. And she writes, I'll admit I have an envy problem. I struggle when I see pew warmers or other parents not living for Jesus with kids who serve the Lord. Why would my son identify himself as an atheist when he was raised in a home that passionately loves and serves the Lord? It doesn't feel fair. It doesn't seem right. And this is the thing. You know, I don't have an atheist for a son, but I had a wandering. One wandered because of a church hurt that was really legitimate. Another one just through passivity started to party, and God's brought them back in really beautiful ways. But I got to tell you, this was one of the most tough things for me, having a child or two sons wandering at different points and seeing these picture-perfect families with kids who sincerely follow the Lord. And you wonder, it's a fist to the gut every time, because it's like, why and how? What do you say to that?
Well, there is a lot of grief with a prodigal, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
And it stirs up grief, and it stirs up feelings of guilt, like, what should I have done differently? It, you know, stirs up the questions of why me, why us? And also sometimes we're almost even hoping if we could get an answer to you know, why us, then I think maybe we feel like we could solve the problem.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it does. It stirs up so many issues of jealousy and envy. My pastor said something that I thought was really pretty wise. He said that he believes that most families of faith have at least one child that goes through a season of wandering. And I think we don't always talk about it. So I think sometimes we also are on the outside looking in and seeing what we think we're seeing, and we may not always be seeing the whole picture.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I think social media sadly really adds to that angst. But as far as the why me question, you know, like why is this happening when you feel like you've done it right, maybe rather than asking that, because that when we get that, then we think we can blame somebody or we can figure out whose fault it is and perhaps we can fix it. But perhaps maybe God is the one that wants to be in charge of fixing it, even though we'd like to fix it. And maybe the question is how. How can I respond to this difficult situation, and how can I respond to my child in a way that demonstrates my unconditional love, and how can I respond to my child in a way that honors God? And I think that maybe is more the question than the why.
That's great. How can I respond to my child in a way that honors God? That's just great. I wonder if you wrestled with questions like this. Where did I go wrong? What will people think? What if he or she makes a life-altering decision during this time? How did you process those kinds of questions, Lori?
Well, I'm still working through that. I have to say, it's hard, you know, and I think the Lord has to remind me on a daily basis and sometimes even a moment-by-moment basis that I need to look to him, not look at the thing in front of me, but to look up. I need to look to him, look to the hills. I need to trust him because I know with all my heart, I know with all my soul, I know with all my mind and all my strength that my God loves my kid even more than I do. So I need to trust that. But I think those questions when you have a prodigal are one that you battle with, at least I do, on a regular basis. I would like to say that I don't, but the truth is it is hard sometimes.
I appreciate that, Lori, so much. How do you and how did you, that's a better order for that sentence, process through disappointment and grief? I mean, what's been a healthy way for you to go, I need to create some space in my life to sort through some of these losses, even though it's in process? So you really do have to deal with what it does in your soul.
Boy, you sure do. And I think, you know, that whole self-care kind of movement, I think that's really important. I mean, getting some exercise and hanging out with friends and not always talking about the thing and having some distractions, because this can, it can overwhelm you so much that you can barely get out of bed. And that isn't, when we are in that place of despair and depression, we are not able to be used by God in the way that he wants to use us in our prodigal's life. So we need to be strong, and we need to be mentally and emotionally able to work through what's going on, and of course spiritually as well. And so we need that refreshment, and we need to be renewed. So, you know, getting some exercise and hanging out with some friends and, like I said, not always talking about the thing, and finding joy. And that sounds hard, but I would wake up in the morning and I would think, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that would be the thing that got me out of bed. But after praying that, it felt like 100 times, I started to feel like annoyed with that prayer and frustrated that I don't feel any joy. I just feel great grief. And then the Lord encouraged me to look that psalm up. And lo and behold, that psalm was written in the middle of a battle. And I thought, okay, I can wrap my brain around this now. I can get behind this because this was written during a time of great pain and hardship and war, spiritual warfare or warfare. And that is something that now that I know that, I can say that again and I can actually mean it. So I think to claim some scripture is really helpful too, but it needs to be really meaningful to you, not just something that you repeat in a rote way, or it will do what it did with me and it won't be effective anymore.
I really think, Lori, it's the difference between rehearsing it, which rehearsing is good, but engaging with it as you rehearse it. Otherwise, you just go on autopilot, but your heart has to be engaged with it for you to get some spiritual traction. And boy, that's
absolutely
so good. So we've got about, I don't know, 2.5 minutes to this hard break at the bottom. So we'll pick this part of the conversation up on the other side. But I want you to start with just this answer. When our son or daughter discloses what's going on in their lives, I'm thinking that some of our responses could actually do more harm than good. And a few that I thought of were like these. How could you do this to me? What will people think of our family after all we've done for you? I'm imagining these kinds of things when the kind of courage it takes for them to come clean anyway is significant. Yeah. Speak to just maybe other wrong responses.
Well, we often want to quickly find blame or demonstrate anger. That's the place we go because we're surprised. And what has happened is our kids have had time to prepare to come clean, right? And we have had no time to prepare. Mm-hmm. And so we typically will have a knee-jerk reaction. And we will say things and do things that we really don't mean. One mom confessed to me, and this is not in the book, that she called her daughter a slut after she had, I hope that's okay to say on the air, but she called her a name after she had disclosed that, you know, she was pregnant. And of course, the mother was mortified that she said this, and then later, you know, really apologized and asked for forgiveness. But in the heat of the moment, a lot of times we're going to say things that are full of emotion and not the way God would have us respond. Of course, our kids need us at that moment to demonstrate love to them, but we don't always do that in that moment. But we can do it later, and we can say that we're sorry and be able to ask again, God, how do you want to use me now? And, yeah, we can mess up pretty big when it first comes out.
Yeah, and that's where we need mercy and grace just as much as they need mercy and grace. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this, about how you say sometimes kids will use these conversation danglers to test the waters to see how it respond, kind of say things and then reel them back, saying, I'm just kidding, or not that it applies to me, but wanting to see how we'll respond. We'll talk more about just those conversations of disclosure and how we can be prepared so that we can respond in grace and truth. And if we blow it, how do we reset and come back at it again? Talking to Lori Wildenberg, title of her book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. More great conversation up ahead. Email if you'd like in on the drawing. There's 3 copies to get into your hands. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute.
You're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I...
Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Lori Wildenberg. She's the author of the book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. We've got 3 copies. I'd love to get your name in on the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E. And don't forget that mailing address. So, Lori, before the break, we were talking about when our son or daughter discloses what's going on in their lives. As you said before the break, they've had time to plan and think about this, but it still takes great courage on their part. Where we are maybe broadsided, you know, we talked about how instinctive responses may do more harm than good, like, after all we've done for you, or how could you do this to me? But you say that sometimes kids will use conversation danglers to test the waters before they get to this conversation of full disclosure. Say more about that, if you would.
Oh, they totally do that. They want to see where their mom and dad are at with some of these things. So they might say something like, so what would you say if I was gay? I'm not, but I'm just wondering. Or, guess what? I'm gay. I'm just kidding. or lots of kids at my school do drugs or drink alcohol, and it's no big deal, just sort of letting that sit there. Or maybe they'll say, they'll talk about a friend's parent who perhaps kicked out a sibling because that sibling got pregnant. And then, or maybe even mentioning that none of their friends attend church. So these are things that are something for us to pay attention to. When they throw out a little, like you said, a little teaser, just to kind of see where you're at. And if we continue to really listen to what our kids are saying, and not just what they're saying, but what might be behind that, I think that's really important for parents. It can give us a clue as to where our kids just might be.
Mm. You know, years ago, a friend who works with at-risk youth said, she said, we work with these rough-edged kids from really rough homes, and she says, but without fail, we'll have a few kids who were raised in a solid Christian home and they were caught once with marijuana and their parents way overcorrect and treat them like an at-risk youth, put them in with these kids. And she says, we will take them and love on them, but it's actually doing more harm than good because you're changing their context completely. Love for you to speak to that, because you can see in fear how you could way overcorrect and land in a different ditch.
Exactly. I think starting small is always much better. Mm. And so we can overcorrect. And it's really important to pull those reins back, even if you say it, even if you say, well, we found drugs in your room and you are going to rehab tomorrow, you can take it back. Mm-hmm. Just because you've said it, you can take it back. And you can say, you know what, I think we need to explore this and talk about this a little bit more. We're concerned about this. And unpack it a little bit further. Rather than throwing in a great big bomb, much better to start smaller. You can always go bigger if you need to, but smaller is better, and it will have less ramifications going forward. Because as you had said, Susie, if you throw the big bomb in there, you could do way more damage than even the initial discovery of your child doing drugs and, you know, them in the middle of maybe experimenting as opposed to being addicted to. So, of course, these are things you want to address. I'm not saying don't address them. Do. But start small rather than start big. And start with conversation. And always wrap it around with how much you love your child, and that their behavior doesn't determine how much you love them, just as our behavior doesn't determine how much God loves us.
How does a parent know or discern if some of their angst is coming from their own sense of perfectionism, like an unrealistic ideal, a caricature of what a Christian young adult should look like in this culture, and how much truly is that they're actually discerning some departures in their son or daughter's life?
Boy, I think prayer is the way to go with that, and really some self-reflection, and perhaps a spouse can even help speak into that, or a trusted friend, to know if that is a hot spot for you just because that's your own hot spot, or if it is real. Mm. And I think growing up, as we grew up, we did things where we wandered off the path as well, and the Lord pulled us back. And our kids are going to do the same thing. And to have a realistic view, when I work with parents of teens, a lot of times I'll, just to kind of get them back on the same, to a place that's a little bit more reasonable, I might say something like, okay, when you were a teen, stand up if you were the perfect teen, that you never did anything wrong. And nobody stands up. And if someone does, then I might say something like, well, did you ever lie to your parents? And nobody's standing. Because we all messed up. And so I think if we can remember that and not be so afraid of our kids messing up, but know that, okay, we messed up and it was okay, rather than we messed up and my child is surely not going to go down that path. Well, it could be that they might, because they've got the sin propensity just like we do. So I think just to have a realistic view of ourselves, and then to understand that it's not something we hope for our kids, it's not God's best, but it's going to be okay because God's got it.
Wow.
So not to have a big knee-jerk reaction, yeah.
So good. So in this book, Messy Journey, that Lori wrote, it's just really great because you weave in testimonies from other prodigals and other parents of prodigals, but also Courtney, your daughter, just inserts little thoughts throughout the book as well. So I want to read an excerpt where first she makes a statement about you guys and your heart for her, and then you make a really important statement and love for you to comment on it. And here, Courtney first says, I know where my family stands on homosexuality, but I still know in my heart, no matter what, that they love me. I can feel it. That's Courtney. And then Lori further writes, at first when Courtney said she knew where we stood on homosexuality, I felt frustrated. I wanted her to believe what her dad and I believed. Then I realized she accepted our beliefs even though she didn't share them. Maybe I can respect her right to have an alternative belief even if I disagree. Acceptance of an individual doesn't have to mean agreement, just as disagreement doesn't indicate a lack of acceptance. In spite of our opposing views, she feels love from us. Can we accept love from her, even if she doesn't believe or behave the way we do? Yes, we can still be in relationship, even if we don't agree. Unconditional love is not a one-way street. Man, Lori, I feel like I wish we could put that on a billboard, one in every city, because that's on a bigger scale. Our world needs to hear that insight, and the way that you and Courtney are modeling it to me is just beautiful.
Yeah, we try to keep respect intact. Now, we're not always perfect at it, that's for sure, but we have boundaries with each other. So, for instance, if Courtney and I are going out, and let's say we've got a lunch date and the two of us are going out, she'll say, Mom, we're not going to talk about anything big now. So she'll put a boundary on me as far as, like, we don't always have to talk about the issue. And she knows where we stand, and she doesn't embrace our beliefs, yet we can still love her. And she can still love us even though we don't embrace her beliefs. It's a hard road, though. The grace and truth, navigating grace and truth, can be difficult. It would be easier, honestly, to fall on one side or the other.
Yeah.
It would be easier to have all grace, that the slippery grace, but yet that would be a lie. Or it would be easier to have all truth, but that would be cruel. So we need to have both going in conjunction with each other, and with that, showing respect to one another. Otherwise, there will be no relationship.
You know, I've shared this before on the show, but it really fits here perfectly. And just again, to be clear, Lori's daughter is battles same-sex attraction. This isn't what this whole conversation is about. It can be your prodigal, could be just turning from the faith, rejecting Christ, using substance, whatever. But in this case, we had a young man in studio who wandered into the gay lifestyle for, I think it was several years, and his mom was so devastated. Both parents were so devastated. And she went into a dark, deep place of just despair. But then the Lord met her there, and he said, something shifted for her, and she released me to God. And he said, and she just like got into a walk with the Lord that was so intimate. He said, every time I would go visit her, her face glowed. And he said, I knew I was in the shadows. I knew I was in the darkness, and I would wake up, you know, where I was and feel just emptiness. And then I would go there and see her and I would feel drawn to the light of Christ within her. And he said, by her just pursuing her own walk with God, he said, that light shone on my life. And when I was ready, I knew exactly where to go. And I just thought, that's brilliant for any parent of any kind of prodigal. Boy, we have to put our oxygen mask on first, don't we?
Yeah. Boy, that is so smart. And really, I mean, what you're bringing up too, Susie, is this really is more about the prodigal's relationship with the Lord than it is about how we brought our child up or even our relationship with our child. It is more about their relationship with the Lord. And if we can continue to pursue our relationship with the Lord in doing that, that continues to build trust, our trust in a faithful God.
Yeah.
And And boy, to have that Shekinah glory showing on his mom, that's a really great testimony.
Hmm. Yeah, and he eventually came back to the faith, and he eventually got married, and he attributes it to his mom's thriving walk with God. He said it was such a stark example in contrast from what he was living. I just think that's amazing. So here you're cultivating this precious relationship with your daughter, and she weaves these truths. I mean, just what's true about her and her story, really honest with it throughout your book. But I'm sure that there are times and triggers for you, Lori, that all of a sudden, again, it feels like a fist in the gut where the grief takes hold, or you see somebody who just skated through this. I mean, it's amazing to me how many parents go, hey, I barely taught faith at home, and my kids are all missionaries. And that kind of stuff used to be like, honestly, I'd lose my breath because I was so passionate and purposeful. What do you do? What triggers you, if you don't mind saying, and how do you get out of the ditch when you find yourself there?
Well, I know one thing that's really hard for me. Courtney's gender identity confusion is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And when the two of us are out and about, sometimes someone will say, excuse me, sir, and talking to her. And that really hurts my heart a lot. You know, and again, this is all related to, I believe, her needing to find her identity in the Lord and being able to embrace who he created her to be. But that, for me, that can stop me in my tracks, and really I can be frozen for a while.
Wow, I'm sure, Lori. Thank you. Thank you for even sharing that. And maybe on the other side of the break, I would love to know what helps you get back out of that ditch, because I know there are parents of prodigals listening today who know exactly what I'm talking about. When something triggers your grief and your disappointment, and you can just curl up in a ball and feel like, I can't breathe again. How do you get out of that place? Well, I'm talking to author speaker Lori Wildenberg, who's just been so wonderfully honest and transparent about her own journey. And you can tell she knows what she's talking about. Title of her book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home. Would love for you to email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. I wanted that song to play out because it's the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why we're alive, and that blood will never lose its power. And as my guest said before the break, Lori Wildenberg, talking about her book, Messy Journey, How Grace and Truth Offer the Prodigal a Way Home, she challenges, when she's speaking, people in the audience to remember we weren't perfect in our adolescent, teen, and young adult years. We weren't, and yet we just freak out when our kids depart, but we all have to find our way, and somehow, some way, God guided, guarded us, and he turned things around in us. And we can trust him. We can pray passionately and stand in faith. And what I asked you before the break, Lori, is just at times with your situation with your daughter, when certain things trigger you and it kind of takes your breath away and you find yourself in the ditch, and I know that's a familiar place. I've been there before myself. What has helped you get back out of the ditch to get perspective again, to kind of live in the not yet, and so you can stay in a place of joy and peace and faith?
Well, it's a challenge because sometimes it's different things. I have found that, you know, really actually being real and even asking someone for prayer or praying with another person, kind of finding your support system, I think is really helpful, because we try to go this stuff alone, and that's no good. And that's not how we're created. We're created for relationship. We're created for community, and the Lord wants us to be able to help each other. And so I find that when I want to retreat within myself, when things like that happen, I think the thing to do is the opposite, to instead of do that where it can consume me, is to reach out and reach out for a friend, or, you know, ask for help, or maybe go and talk to a pastor or spend some time with my spouse, with Tom. I think those are things, exercise, all those things I've found to be really helpful. And, of course, praying and asking God to just switch my thinking around, because so often I find that I can focus on the storm and not focus on the one who created the water. And I need to focus on the Creator. And if I can refocus, that really is highly helpful. But also being real. And I can even say to Courtney, we have a relationship where I can say this, that when I hear things like that, that I find that really hurtful. And how do you feel about that? So we actually can talk about that, those sort of things.
That's amazing.
But again, you know, we don't do it perfectly, but we have found a place where we are able to be very respectful of one another. And that's, we both desire that. We both want that to occur. Our whole family cherishes relationship with one another. And so we do seek to be respectful, even when it's hard or highly emotional.
Well, you know, there's times you wonder if your prayers, your labor as a parent were in vain. I think the enemy would love to convince us that's the case when we're in the midst of the heartbreak. And I wonder what you'd say, Lori, to that parent listening today who feels like none of what they have done matters, or none of what they've done has stuck. What do you say to them?
I think that God uses all the good stuff that we pour into our kids, and it's not in vain. Sometimes we feel like it is. As you said, that's the enemy. But that's all in there. And I just continue to pray that God continues to use the things that we have poured into our daughter. And I also ask him to give me eyes to see the little miracles, because I want the big one mostly. And I'm sometimes not seeing the other ones. And one might be that it's kind of a miracle that Courtney wrote this book with me, right? And that we are able to do this together. Or one time I had behaved badly, and I was at a stoplight, and I looked at the car in front of me, and it said, "Before you act, talk to me, God." And I thought, okay, the Lord's letting me know I have to, you know, listen to what he says before I move forward on my agenda. And so to look to see God in some of those moments, that is where I find a lot of encouragement and hope. Because I can miss it otherwise if I don't ask him to show me something.
So good. Go ahead.
Well, I had a situation where I was walking my dog, and I stepped over a penny that was right in front of my driveway. And as I was walking away, I thought, oh, when I come back, I'm going to pick up that penny, because it says, "In God we trust," right? That's a precious message. I'm going to come back and pick up that penny. Well, I went, and I got back to my driveway on the return trip. I bent down to pick up the penny, and I saw a few more, and then a few more. Susie, there were 37 pennies.
Wow.
37 pennies in front of my driveway. And then I went and Googled to see how many times trust was written in the Bible, and it was 38. So I ran outside to find the 38th penny, and there wasn't one. And I came back, and I thought, well, that was weird. Well, then my friend called, and we pray every Tuesday, and she and I were praying, and I told her about this, and she goes, "Well, do you know what my favorite psalm is?" And I said, "No," and she goes, "It's Psalm 37, and it's all about trust." So this is all about trust. This isn't just Courtney's journey. As much as I'd like to say this is all her gig, it's not. It's mine too. And part of what I'm learning through her journey is that I need to trust in my great big God, who loves me, loves my family, and loves Courtney, even and especially in the midst of the struggles, because he is the God of prodigals. He is the father of all of us.
Amen.
And we all tend to wander.
Boy, that's so good. That's so good. I love it. It's wonderful. And you mentioned earlier that social media is probably the worst thing in the world for a brokenhearted parent, because it's the perpetual Christmas card, you know. And one thing you wrote in the book is you said, "I tend to forget that every family faces some sort of difficulty." And these snapshots of the perfect families and the squeaky clean kids. It's just, you know, we're all broken people. So there's just not one family who is June Cleaver, you know, baking cookies in their high heels and the kids are all, you know what I mean? But we project that, and it's always we compare our insides to other people's outsides. Maybe speak to the idea of that we're not only that every family faces some sort of difficult, but God's given us grace to face our difficulties.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, I mean, when you ever have a question, all you have to do is look at the cross, right? And as Jesus is hanging there, and while we are still sinners, he's dying for us. He died for us. He's got the thief, one of the thieves, at the other side of him, saying, you know, that he tells him, I will see you in paradise. Oh, my goodness. So there is hope for these hard things. And the Lord is the one that is going to do the hard work just as he has done the hard work. He's done it, and he is going to continue to invest in our family because we're worth dying for. And that is something that I think we've got to remember, that grace is available to each one of us, and it's available to our prodigals. And when you look through Scripture, doesn't it just blow your mind that other than Jesus, everybody else in there had some sort of issue?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all had something. All of our biblical heroes failed at something. Abraham lied, and Peter denied. You know, I mean, we think of these things, and then we go, oh, my gosh, but look what God did with a liar and one that denied him. You know, he can do great things with our kids, and that's the hope that I cling to. And not to let the enemy keep whispering, you know, I shouldn't be talking, like, Lori, you shouldn't be talking to parents because look at how messed up your family is. And that's actually the thing that I have realized people want to hear.
Exactly.
Because they're dealing with things, and mm-hmm. they are in a situation where they need somebody to be real with them so that they can let their armor down and be real as well.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing what our heartbreak does. You know, if we lean in and let the Lord have his way in it, it actually brings forth a fruit of compassion. And I just think people who are suffering need so much to know, I've been there, and this hurts, and I hurt with you. And I hear that in your voice, Lori, and I so appreciate this time. Wondering if you wouldn't mind praying for that person, that brokenhearted parent who's maybe right now got the fist to the gut, just maybe coming off of a family encounter that leaves them reeling. Would you pray for that person?
I would love to. Father God, you are the God of all compassion and mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that you wrap your arms around the parent who is struggling with just even getting out of bed because the grief is so heavy. I pray that you take their burden, Lord, and you carry it. And Father, I pray that for that person who's listening today who is struggling in that way, I pray that you show yourself in a great big way, Lord, so it's not to be missed, so that they can see that you are in the midst of this difficult time, and that when we struggle, Lord, when we suffer, when we have grief, Father, you are so close, and I pray that you will show yourself, and so that that person feels the sense of hope and feels able to be spurred on so that they can be effectively used by you, Lord.
Mm. Thank you, Lord. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. And in a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.